Cuban Late Noodlings, recorded on the 7th of July, 2021. This is my corner of the internet where I talk about the fun things that tickle my nerdy nerve endings, and sometimes I feel like I need to change that tagline, but you know, here we are. This is the 29th Individually Wrapped Fun Size Podcast, and coming up, I'm talking about the Pymega Project, Return of the Maker's Corner podcast with Yannick, linking the TI-86 calculator with OpenSUSE, my OpenSUSE corner, and my computer history retrospective on computer graphics from 1984. So life has been a bit on the crazy side the last couple months, which is why there hasn't been any noodlings or much activity on the cubiclenate.com website since about April. Now, I haven't given up. It is more than just my online activities have had to take a backseat to my in-real-life activities. Aside from the 2 weeks in June, I'm still regularly on the DLN Extend podcast, where I'm having Linux and open source chat with Matt and Wendy, my co-hosts, part of the Destination Linux Network. And I'm also doing a middle live on most Saturdays. There's a whole panel of tech enthusiasts talking about all sorts of Linux, tech, and open source goodness. In some other thoughts, I recently acquired a PS4, or in old man layman's terms, a PlayStation 4. I kind of went into this a bit blind, not really knowing much about the system other than it's after the PS3 and before the PS5. The hardware specs are out there. It has an AMD CPU and GPU, this unified system and GPU memory, which I think is quite interesting, an auxiliary ARM processor for OS things in the background. So going into the system, I expected a user experience much like the Wii or Wii U or Switch, but that wasn't the case at all. I would say it's overall more like a PC user experience, I'd say. Also, going into the local video game shop, this place called Topps Trade Center, the selection of PS4 games were rather, well, for me, uninspiring. Basically, all first-person shooters that are, you know, quote, cool. Nothing looked fun, so I settled on Star Wars Battlefront 2. It's okay. Not really fun like the Lego Star Wars games, but the graphics are impressive. I mean, it looks fun to play. I watch my oldest play it mostly. I have more searching to do, but I am wondering if I am a Nintendo guy at this point, and when it comes to modern video games at least. So far, they just tend to be more fun-based than the super awesome graphic-based games that I see on the PS4. I also find that I enjoy Steam games because there's a lot of indie games out there that are tons of fun to play. You know, things like Among Us or Candle and many others. So, River City Ransom Underground. So I hope to get some feedback as to what games I should pursue to expand my collection from 1 to greater than 1 on the PS4. There is this project called Pymega. It's a great Raspberry Pi project. It's by Chris Edwards. He's an Amiga guy. I guess he used to work for Commodore, if I understand what he told me correctly. You know, sometimes I get things garbled in my noggin. I enjoy everything about this project so much, I took the time to start writing up a page for getting started in using the Pymega and playing with Pymega to include some good videos for you to get acquainted with the project. I'm doing this on my Pi 400, which I have yet to talk about further. Now, the Pymega project is incredible. It has a comprehensive collection of applications, a lot of games, you know, things like Amos Professional on there. I used to, you know, do some programming on that back in the 90s, so like, you know, about 8 years ago now. It gives you internet access to the world of Amiga software to make even more available to you. Instead of Workbench, it uses Scalos, I'm not sure of the pronunciation. It's a Workbench replacement. It looks great. It feels like what you'd expect from the traditional Workbench, but it's not Workbench. I'm still playing with the system, and due to my somewhat transient state right now, I'm not able to dig into it further, but suffice to say, this is great and getting better. So check out pymega.com. I've started setting it up. It's a redirect to cubiclenate.com/pymega, and you can check it out, get started. It's a couple of torrents out there for you to try. Version 1.5 is out. Version 2 is in beta testing, of which I need to do a little bit more of that to help out Mr. Edwards. But it's a great project. I love it. He's a funny guy, and you should check it out. If you are into Amiga or you want to like dabble in the Amiga, check out Pymega. There has been a return of the Maker's Corner podcast with Yannick as part of the Other Side Podcast Network. We took a year off because of, you know, stuff like, you know, stuff from last year because it was kind of a dumpster fire, I would say. Not the show, the last year was. We're back to a bi-weekly show about making things, hence the name Maker's Corner. Yannick got caught up on the editing and the version, and not the version. Episode 13 has just been released, so if you are into making things, everything from, you know, woodworking to building strange electrical contraptions or 3D printing, anything of that nature, that's all there. We talk about it, we chat about it, it's just a fun conversation. So check it out. Go to makerscorner.tech. There should be a link in the show notes, so you can go ahead and check that out. I know it comes to no surprise, but there's still a part of me that's stuck in 1998. And in that, I still like to use, rather frequently, I'm not ashamed to say, my Texas Instruments TI-86 calculator for math things. Anything. When I have a complex equation, one that my middle-aged brain just can't seem to work out, I reach out, I grab my trusty old TI-86. It's been a faithful companion for years. It's gone with me all over the world as I've, you know, crazily taken that thing just with to places that have no business taking calculator, but I did anyway. So it's been my crutch for like 22 years-ish. I have the same rechargeable nickel metal hydride batteries from Rayovac that still seem to work. They're in the rotation anyway, and I don't replace the batteries that often, so it's held up well. So I've written many little useful programs on it, especially early in my mechanical design career, to accelerate the task, different tasks as far as like calculating things and so forth. And I used it quite a bit with my Windows 98 machine. Like, I had a serial port that plugged into the link cable that plugs into the bottom of the calculator. And, you know, since then, you know, time has moved on. Many computers don't have serial DB9 ports like they used to. Unfortunately. So I have a USB-A style interface that I use with my OpenSUSE Linux machine. Now, Texas Instruments does have applications, but they're only for Windows and Mac, so I use this open source application called TILP2. It's an old program, it doesn't really get very many updates, but I use it on my OpenSUSE machine. I got a link to that in my show notes. If you need to, for whatever reason, transfer applications or games or programs from your Linux box, specifically OpenSUSE, to your Texas Instruments calculator, this application runs great. It's it's a GTK2 application. A Qt version would be nice, but there isn't one. Now, you do have to do some modifications. You have to add some groups to your user. Dial out lock UUCP. Not a big deal. It's very easy to do in Yast, or if you use command line, there's a command for that. But anyway, I find it's a fun thing to use. I don't use it that often, but it's nice to have access to the applications in from my computer or from the whole World Wide Web of applications to dump onto this calculator and to back up things like when I do write an application, when I do write a little program to do a thing. So you can check out more information at ticalc.org. Links to the little blathering I did on my website is in the show notes. For my OpenSUSE corner, I'm going to kick it off with some smiles. So OpenSUSE Leap 15.3 is out, and something that I just think is absolutely phenomenal about the project. Of course, they support the x86 64-bit architecture with it. They have ARM 64-bit support, a PAR PC, the not big Endian support for it, an ISO you can download, IBM Z and Linux One, so the S390X architecture, which is great. So there's four architectures that are currently available with Leap today, and things that I would love to play with. I think I could do an ARM 64. I do have I wonder if it'll work with a Pine 64. I'm not sure. I should try it. When things settle in. I don't have a PAR PC machine that I can run it on, or a S390X. But then additional architectures that are available for Tumbleweed, you have the 32-bit x86, ARM V6, ARM V7, of course the Arch ARM Architecture 64, and RISC-V 64. So it's really neat to see how many architectures are supported on the OpenSUSE world. For many of the reasons that I've enjoyed using Debian, more of that it seems to be kind of appearing in OpenSUSE, and I really appreciate it. I was just poking around. I did talk to the chairman of the OpenSUSE board, and I asked, could you do a PA RISC if there was a builder for that? And he said, yes, there was, but it would take resources away from other more important things. And I said, well, got it. Maybe I could do that locally. And there is a way to basically pull the build service as a local service, and I could do that. A lot of things I don't understand yet, but it's just really cool how open the OpenSUSE project is, and it just brings a huge smile to my face. Also, if you haven't checked out OpenSUSE Leap 15.3 yet, I highly recommend it. It's great. I've already done some updates on my current machines. It's kind of like nothing ever happened. So, that is the boring element of OpenSUSE. Things just tend to continue to work, as you would expect, without the surprises, and that's why I love OpenSUSE. In OpenSUSE news, there's some IRC and Matrix announcements. News.opensuse.org. You can check this out. The OpenSUSE project has used IRC for real-time chat within the community since it began, and the IRC network was used in Freenode, but there have been some hullabaloos going on, and so the communication is moving from Freenode to LibreChat. So if you are a current IRC user, register your nick on LibreChat, rejoin the OpenSUSE-related channels you previously joined on Freenode, and take this as an opportunity to choose a new secure password, make sure that you're connecting via SSL, LibreChat offers documentation on choosing your IRC client. I wonder if it'll work with my Commodore 64. But that's an aside. So many of the OpenSUSE channels have already been moved over and already on LibreChat. However, less used channels may not have automatically been set up. So if you need a specific OpenSUSE IRC channel set up, please file a ticket requesting the channel. So if you're a Matrix user, then you'll also see improvements as IRC channels are being bridged to connect the OpenSUSE communities on IRC and Matrix together. Additionally, Discord and Telegram are connected to Matrix, making them a unifying point for all real-time chat. The OpenSUSE project has hosted a Matrix instance. It's open for the community to use. You can go to chat.opensuse.org to log on to the service using your OpenSUSE account. From there, you'll be able to interact with any of the Matrix rooms, especially OpenSUSE ones hosted on the server, and have IRC bridged into them. So check that out on news.opensuse.org. I have a link to that particular article in my show notes. For my tumbleweed roundup, I'm going to rip through these pretty quick. Snapshot 2021-0620 is a stable 92. 0621 is a stable 96. 0622 stable 97. 0623 stable 98. 0625 stable 99. 0626 has a stable 99. 0628 has a stable 98 with 14 bugs there. 0629 has a stable 97 with 19 bugs filed against it. 2021-0701 has a pending stable score of 97 with 15 bugs so far. 2021-0702 has a pending stable of 98, 3 bugs. One is a notification badge for Electron apps not available in Task Manager panel. I have not been bitten by that one. 2021-0703 has a pending stable of 97 with 18 bugs filed. A couple of, I would say, serious ones. Reports of massive memory leak in Chromium and a Plasma error when shutting down with only external screen active. My case isn't running into those, but there's 18 bugs filed against that, so if that is an issue for you, you may want to hold off on updating Tumbleweed. On that note, I have everything updated in my house. I don't seem to have any issues with any systems. I think one maybe requires update, I think in my living room. I'll have to go check that out today. Oh, my Raspberry Pi 4, I have not updated that one because it's in a box. For my computer history retrospective on computer graphics from 1984, I have a link to the video for Computer Chronicles. It was a very interesting video to watch. A lot of the hardware I thought was very cool. The giant tablets that they would write on, like, not that different from the Wacom tablet that I use. Computers were already in the business in 1984 of fine art, assisted in animations, and it was used in television, you know, so long ago. Of course, it was used in CAD. The mainframe applications for 3D design from 1984 are essentially what we can get free from Blender today. It was very cool seeing what they could do in 1984 as far as, like, 3D models and so forth. And pretty much, you know, everybody who runs Linux or OpenSUSE Linux has that available immediately to them. There are a couple of interesting exchanges, one from Herb Lechner.
Should brush manufacturers worry?
No.
They're not in trouble yet.
Not yet.
Kevin, we have about a minute left. How far can you go with this technology? Will we get to the point where you could have, where we could be replaced by animated people and sync it up with words?
I sincerely hope not. The way I see it at the moment is that we're providing the means by which an artist can extend their capabilities. We can turn a reasonable artist into a good one and an extremely good one into a superb artist. All we're doing is allowing them to create their artwork in a much shorter space of time and in the medium in which it's required.
It's very interesting to hear the speculation 1984, and about a decade later, Pixar would release Toy Story, which revolutionized the idea of animation. I also find it interesting that deepfakes are now an issue, which in 1984, I guess they didn't see it coming, maybe? At least not in the immediate future. But now you very much can do simulation of people. In fact, there's all these goofy little apps I see advertised on the world wide webs for putting somebody else's face on something else and, you know, having the lips move and everything else to it. So interesting to see everything that's happened. It's amazing the processing power and everything that computers can do today. Basically unfathomable. Well, sort of. I mean, we did have Star Trek in the 80s, so at least in 88 or 87. Can't remember. In this current time of craziness that seems to be pressing down upon us, I encourage you to look at the positives around you. Sure, there are many terrible things going on around us, and it can be maddening. I implore you to look at the positives, because they do exist. There are many great things happening in the open source world. Arguably, some things are not so great, but don't let the negative things live in your head rent-free. Enjoy and promote the positives, speak constructively about which is not going the way you see best, and also, maybe it's time you resign as general manager of your universe. Take time and enjoy the wonders of the world around you. In the Northern Hemisphere, we're deep into summer. In Western Michigan, we are full green. The trees are brilliant with foliage, flowers are blooming everywhere, the mighty wonders of summertime weather patterns are demonstrating their power, and there's so much to look at, marvel, and admire. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this bit of nerdy nonsense. If you have any corrections, addendums, or comments, feel free to send me one of those fancy electronic messages to me at cubiclenate.com. For more of my nonsense, visit cubiclenate.com and use any method you like on the contact page. I'll get to it as quickly as I can. If you'd like more from me in the world of podcasts, visit dlnextend.com, where I have a chat with my two superb co-hosts, Wendy and Matt, about the wonders and excitement in the Linux and open source world. You can also check me out at Maker's Corner podcast at makerscorner.tech, where I talk with my co-host Yannick from the Other Side Podcast Network, where we make things, and typically I make a mess. If you'd like to hang out with me on a live stream, there's a Biddle Live, which is on most Saturdays at 2000 hours Eastern Daylight Time, which is 0-4 UTC, if that helps you out. So it's not great for those in Europe. Maybe I should do something about that. Until next time, see yas.
Should brush manufacturers worry?